return of the American hemp industry. Get the latest news from the author of Hemp Bound and Too High to Fail, Doug Fine, in our Hemp Day Hump Day update.
All right, everybody, welcome to our first Hemp Day Hump Day from Legal Oregon. We got Doug Fine on the line. How you doing, Doug?
Oh, I'm doing great. Celebrating like everybody else. Just had a terrific field visit to an Oregon hemp planting and experienced the overall Measure 91 legalization. Congratulations to the Beaver State. It's the best initiative implemented thus far and an important step forward.
Oh, absolutely. Are you in Oregon still?
I am not. I am back on the ranch.
Back on the ranch with Taylor Swift and the rest of the goats?
Taylor Swift is pregnant. My goat Taylor Swift is pregnant, and she's doing a day now.
Well, you'll be a proud goat daddy, I guess. All right. So you talking about Oregon, we've got hemp being planted in Oregon. There was a threat to Oregon hemp. The House passed this bill that was going to put a 2-year moratorium on hemp and pull the plants out of the ground because, oh, no, cross-pollinization. But the Senate stood up and defeated that bill. So hemp continues to be planted. Doug, tell us about your visit to the hemp farm and what we're looking forward to here in Oregon.
Yeah, sure. I'll start just with the big good news. It's more interesting to me than the politics, especially as the end is predetermined. The end is that Oregon is going to be a premier spot on the planet for humanity to demonstrate the progressive economy that can result from the cannabis plant, all varieties of the cannabis plant being above ground. To the extent that after every successful revolution, there's infighting and all that kind of business, and the stories of how it all resolves are interesting to some people. Well, let me see. To me, this is way more interesting, and hopefully to some of the listeners. July 4th, Edgar Winters, Oregon's first modern hemp farmer, first cultivated hemp at age 7 in Alabama, learned from his grandfather, plants multiple acres of hemp in Oregon on the 4th of July with friends before the barbecue. That was kind of fun and patriotic enough. But after the barbecue, we realized, he realized I was still on hand, so I came down to help, that there was weirdness with the irrigation. So long story short, in the evening, the problem was too much water involving ditch digging and relocation and marveling at the sunset in Oregon. And then bright and early, before sunrise, getting down to make sure that the proper irrigation that was supposed to go on did go on overnight. It hadn't. That meant rousing various irrigation officials over the 4th of July weekend at their emergency contact numbers. So hemp is coming back, and humanity we'll be saying thanks within a few years. Oregon's going to be at the forefront. I'm thrilled at the perseverance of the farmers and that there's hemp in the ground in Oregon today.
Yeah, it's really, really good news. And I hear there's 13 licensees currently in the state of Oregon. Is that what you've heard?
That's right. And I don't know how many have officially planted yet, but I know it's more than one. And then just to answer your question, on the political side, you know, thank goodness for how a bill becomes a law and that there's an entire process, because what prevailed, which is non-interference with the hemp program. But I think the most, and by the way, that last attempt, which was one of many during this legislative session in Oregon at hemp, was not about anything to do with what I hope are temporary misunderstandings between some farmers of various types of the cannabis plant. It was actually because of a provision that said hemp can't be planted within 1,000 feet of schools.
Yeah, what's up with that?
it's too much silliness to even go into, but the whole thing was silly, I'm glad that it all was solved. But more importantly, it allowed us there. To me, who supports all the return of responsible, sustainable, all of the cannabis plant, and want to see that be important in Oregon's economy, and tax base. I don't like to see any friction at all. But the fact is, I think it's going to, in the long run, be a benefit because it will allow folks to really discuss openly what they're doing, and we have to do that. We have to do that when it comes to water use and everything else. there's not going to be any worries about the things that were making a few folks fearful this year about different types of the cannabis plant and cross-pollination and all that. That's not going to even be something people discuss within a few years between hemp and psychoactive cannabis. It's going to be potentially an issue from home folks that are amateurs and learning as everyone first did and might not know how to sex their plants in their backyard being adjacent to commercial cultivation farms. In other words, psychoactive to psychoactive. But all of it can be resolved, I think, through good communication and showing that there was a deeper philosophical reason why legalization was a good thing, which was it's going to make people go about their business with their neighbors better. And that's what I hope the resolution of this is.
Yeah, absolutely. We're speaking with Doug Fine, the author of Hemp Bound and Too High to Fail. It's our Hemp Day, Hump Day update. And now that we've got hemp planted in Oregon, what happens from here? I mean, are people ready to process it or produce it or sell it in any way? Where do we go from here?
Well, you know, when I'm reflecting back on this spring and this season, the part that I'm most disappointed in, because there's so many things that have to be resolved, importing seeds, dealing with state and federal issues, moving to full legalization of hemp and also cannabis on the federal level. But the one thing that was hardest for me this year was agreeing at one point when I was trying to help farmers talk to the state about how much the state might be willing to import, which is what was necessary to get federal permits, even though that's not necessarily a federal law mandate. And the final negotiation before the state dropped out was centering around limiting it to 5 or 10 acres per farmer. But the fact is we do have biomass processing in Oregon and around the country already just waiting for those endless acres of hemp. And so to do the research, and remember, we have research legalization only on the federal level, to do research on whether or not Oregon can become energy independent from the cannabis plant, also known as industrial hemp, by incredible amounts of biomass going into clean energy processing, we need large acreage grown. And so it was very frustrating to feel the limitations. And I feel like this hemp industry is willing, like the overall cannabis industry, ready to burst at the seams. There is no end in sight to the growth. The Canadian industry is growing 24% per year. And one of the reasons it was so important for Oregonians to get significant acreage in the ground, the reason why all of us, anybody who supports any kind of cannabis, but anybody who also supports a positive, sustainable future for Oregon, should be so glad that Oregon hemp farmers succeeded in getting significant acreage in the ground, is that it's the most significant first year. Each state is growing exponentially in acreage as they learn their routine and their process. We're not the only ones to go through growing pains. Kentucky went from a half dozen projects last year to 224 this year. And as you mentioned earlier, Oregon has twice of what Kentucky had in their famous year last year. So more reasons to offer kudos to the Oregon hemp farmers.
Fantastic. So we got Kentucky, and I know Colorado's been growing hemp. Where does hemp sprout next in this country?
Connecticut just legalized yesterday. Tennessee's coming on strong this year. They had a ninth inning victory. They were having trouble with whoever they were dealing with on the federal level, getting approval of the way Kentucky has, and by the way, which was offered to Oregon farmers, hemp farmers this year, but the state just really, in the end, couldn't make it happen in the way that farmers have hoped and that the folks doing negotiation on the federal side had needed, which is basically very similar to the Kentucky situation. Personal farmers making MOUs with the state who actually imports, holds, and distributes the seed for that stupid, ridiculous, last lingering prohibitionary reason that needs to go away anyway. But it just delays things. So anyway, Kentucky figured out a deal. Oregon was able to use that deal this year, but wasn't able to on the administrative side. Tennessee, for some reason, wasn't able to strike that deal till really a few weeks ago. And so they're going big. They have a lot of acreage going, so they're going to be significant. I think North Dakota looks to be good. You mentioned Colorado. Hawaii has a lot of people interested in it, but the state thus far has been restricting research to a very few purposes and single projects. So hopefully that's going to change. And on and on and on. We're 24 states and growing, Russ.
That is great news. Now, as each of these states moves forward in researching hemp and in working with it, I imagine the federal prohibition prevents them from being able to, like, can Oregon get seeds from Kentucky? Can you know, Tennessee send research to Iowa? I mean, how does that work?
That's a good question. And the answer, you know, I could give you my own interpretation. I'm not a lawyer, but from studying the arguments, I have confidence that if the argument is made that domestic hemp seeds returning to their genetic origins is actually just a rightful return and not interstate commerce, if that were challenged, I think the hemp side would win, because there is a lot of heirloom seed that's still left, domestic seed. The bottom line is, when it comes to hemp, the states that are willing at the state level to push back and say to various federal interpreters, no, this is okay, this is okay. They might get a little leeway, there's a lawsuit here and there, but basically the feds are not arguing on hemp. And one of the claims that I don't think is legit coming from the Fed side is that you can, for instance, in Montana, you can distribute hemp seeds within Montana if they can be proven to be from Montana. But as long as they cross state lines, and that's interstate commerce, and that has federal jurisdiction, if so, no more so, farmers argue, than any other agricultural crop, which is what hemp now is on the federal level, at least for research purposes. So if you're part of an approved program, you should be able to do that, but farmers are cautious about it. Unless they're willing to challenge. And you hear that a lot, like, we think this is okay and this is right, and if anybody else is claiming otherwise, we'll challenge them in court. And thus far, that hasn't happened. Like, everything just, it continues to thus far flow smoothly. And Kentucky is into its second year. One of the things Kentucky did that pushed boundaries, that was a very conscious thing. The farmers asked the question, the state agriculture department consulted the state's lawyers and came back and said, sales and marketing research means you can sell your crop, and it's still research under the program. In other words, under federally permitted crops. So basically, sell your crop.
That's amazing. Doug Fine, you know, the amazing world of hemp is just exploding all across the United States. We're finally catching up with the rest of the industrialized world, and we thank you so much for being our expert on these matters. We'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks.
Thanks, Ralph. Look forward to it.
And give my best to the goats.
Oh,
I love those kids. See what I did there? All right, when we come back, we'll get into the radical rant. We've got Fresh Buds PDX dispensary owner Jay Bakes in the studio, and all sorts of things to talk about. 7:10 is coming up on Friday, and we got something special going on for that. So stick around. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show.
To the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
You can get 420 Radio on the go with our Shoutcast stream for all internet-enabled media players. Go to rad-r.us/420shout or just